Hey, good morning, friends. How are you doing? Well, we never know what's going to happen in our lives. And in fact, the pandemic of the coronavirus has literally shaken the world. But we need to remember, there is one who is unshaken, who remains a rock and a foundation and unshaken through it all. And that is Jesus Christ and His Word. He is with us and He is unshaken. When our world is shaken like this, we can be unshaken if our foundation is in Him. Let's remember that. And the questions could be, if so, the questions could be, why do I find so difficult to read my Bible and understand what it says? Or how can I grow deeper in His Word? How can I read or listen or study the Word for better understanding? How can I focus on my reading and listening and keeping me from getting bogged down? Well, there are some tips we can learn from a remarkable group of people known as the Bereans. So let's dive in. We are today in the book of Acts, chapter 17. Okay, so the context here is Paul and Silas were in evangelizing in Thessalonica, but the Jews were jealous and persecuted them, so shortly after they left Thessalonica and went to Berea. And look at Acts 17, verse 11. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these were so. This is a short statement, but this shows us a pretty impressive figure as faithful believers. Today, let's look at three characteristics of the Bereans. So first, the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. The original meaning of noble was gentle or open. They were not like the Jews who wouldn't accept any other ways of thinking. They were open to the truth. So the question is, what about you? What about us? Well, we may think we are not like the Jews, but in reality, we tend to close our hearts to others who think differently than we do. Of course, it's important to have confidence in what we believe in. We shouldn't waver from the basics. However, it is dangerous to insist that your ideas are the only ideas and not accept anything else on the parameters. When the Berean Jews heard about the Savior from Paul, they were not like the Thessalonians who said, "That cannot be." They didn't have such an arrogance or pride. In that sense, they were more noble than the Thessalonians. Another way to describe in hearing and reading the Bible is to say it begins with humility. It begins with a real sense of how we are depraved or distorted, and how readily our hearts desire other things more than we desire God. If the Holy Spirit doesn't work in us, the fruit of humility and meekness and teachability, we will either deny or distort the truth of the Scripture. The Spirit of God never will instruct the proud, unhumbled spirit in the right knowledge of the Scripture. because it's a divine revelation. Psalm 25, 9 to 10. Psalm 25, 9 to 10. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he insists sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Well, what a relief. He instructs sinners in the way, it says. You know, it's usually sin that makes our task of seeing glory in the scriptures so hard. We might fear that we have utterly disqualified ourselves from God's help because we have blinded ourselves by our own sinning. But look at verse 8. God reminds us of his mercy. And verse 9, therefore he will help sinners understand. He will instruct sinners. What I'm saying here is not arrogant sinners, not self-exalting, impenitent sinners, but broken and humble sinners, poor and needy sinners. Verse 9, he leads the humble in what is right. Not the self-sufficient student who think they can find the meaning of scripture on their own, who don't feel any need for scriptures at all, but the sinners who trust and fear the Lord. Let's go to number 2. The Bereans receive the word with all eagerness. The Bereans listened to the word intensely. They didn't just listen to the word, but they listened the scripture deeply with eagerness and with interest. And then this resulted in the third characteristic. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 2 to 3. 1 Peter 2, 2 to 3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We're gonna keep learning ourselves to share the word, which is a spiritual food, to the people more deeply and more clearly. Folks, reading the Bible is a blessing. Such feeling will not come from a sense of duty, right? The excitement of, oh, what kind of things I can learn today? You know, what kind of blessings will be given today? That kind of excitement and anticipation leads us to the Lord. And I think this is a very important thing. Because many people read or hear the word of God half asleep. We read the Bible or listen to a sermon or online sermon pretty much like we watch television. Passively. What I mean passively means we expect the TV program to affect us, entertain us, or inform us, or teach us a knowledge. Our minds are almost entirely in a passive mode as something comes into our mind. But the opposite is when our minds go on alert and watch or listen carefully. We become aggressively observant. You work your brain. You think you are not passive. Your mind is not just coasting or drifting, waiting for some idea to come out of blue about the meaning. The mind is engaged. Your mind is on alert, aggressive attentiveness. You have issued a command to the brain, hey, look, listen, think about what you are seeing. Make connections. Asking questions and answering questions. Then we find ourselves filled with joy of discoveries, of fresh understanding, of aha moment. And this is how we are supposed to hear or read the Bible. And such attitudes of the Bereans will be revealed on their actions. That's the third point. Verse 11, the last part of verse 11 of Acts chapter 17. They examined the scriptures every day. The Bereans were quick to receive the message that Paul and Silas brought them, but they were not naive. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Of course, this is not the same attitude it's talking about, like the Pharisees, who are trying to catch something Jesus might say, you know, with an arrogant or critical attitude of hearing. Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 5, verses 39 and 40, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me, that you may have life." Jesus mourns the fact that they missed the point of it all. The Bereans were ready for the truth of the gospel of Christ because they kept searching God's word of truth, and because they held the scripture in such a high regard. They hungered for the word. They longed for the word. They sought the word of God as their source of life and only foundation to pursue the truth and only the rock. So, how can we read the word of God practically or concretely? Well, it's our job to work with all our natural powers to see the meaning of the inspired writings, because God is at work in us to open our minds to see the glory that is really there. This is a very important thing, and Paul makes the point most clearly with these simple statements in 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7, Paul says this: "Think over what I say. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding." Think over what I say. Think over what the scriptures say. Bend every effort. Focus all your desires. Use all of your powers, for the Lord gives you understanding. Wisdom. So we think, and God gives. Both and, not either or. So many people focus on one side of this verse, or the other. Some stress the first part, think over what I say. They emphasize the indispensable role of reason and thinking. And then they minimize the supernatural role of God in making the mind able to see and embrace the glory of God. Others stress the second half of the verse, "For the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And they emphasize the futility of reason. But Paul was not either or, but both and. God gives it, our labor is also essential. God does not intend to replace us when we are united with Christ, right? He intends to renew us daily and empower us and guide us. He gives it. He wants to work through us. He works with us. He works in us, right? So he gives it. We seek it with all our might. By all our might, I mean your ability to see and hear, or your ability to focus on spoken words or written words, or your ability to think and evaluate and relate what you learn to other things or other scriptures, passages. Your ability to remember and memorize things you've learned, your ability to write down your thoughts, your ability to write down what the speaker says or what the says, your ability to get enough sleep and focus on the next day, or enough sleep and food and exercise, so your powers are assisted by mental alertness and physical vigor, the ability to seek help from other people, and so on. Finally, let's look at the outcome, the blessings they received. Let's go back to Acts 17:12. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greeks, women of high standing, as well as men. So many of the Berean Jews who eagerly listened to the word of God and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true entered the faith. And not only that, but look at verse 13. When the Jews in Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. And then Christians were able to immediately send Paul on to Athens. Paul, who was putting his life on the line to preach, was taken care of by the Berean Christians who put their lives on the line to help him. It was probably very difficult to them, but they took care of Paul and thus shared in the work of God. Their faith was at work with them. By faith, they became one, and they prayed for each other, they supported each other. That type of faith was born in their lives because they were eager for the word of God and examined the scriptures every day. They gave out the word of God. And verse 14 tells us that Silas and Timothy remained in this city of Berea. Silas and Timothy remained in Berea. So the foundation of their faith was built by the leadership of Silas and Timothy, who remained there. And later on, we see Acts 20, verse 4. Acts 20, verse 4, the name Sopater of Berea appears. Sopater of Berea. So Sopater is thought to have become a leader in the Berean church. And he went with Paul on his third missionary journey and helped supporting his work. And that was because even after Paul left, the Bereans continued to accept the word of God and examine it daily and follow the word of God. Therefore, no matter what tribulations came their way, or no matter what troubles they were in, they were able to stay rooted in the word of God and could be built up firmly. It all came from this Berean's eagerness for the word of God. Now, when we think all about the church growth, a grand church building, or plenty of money, lots of good plans will not bring the church growth. The key is each individual being tied to the word of God and by growing it. It is by listening the word of God and distinguishing the only true voice of the shepherd, the true shepherd, and following this shepherd, our Lord, then the Lord will lead us to an abundant place of grace. And this shepherd was so faithful that he gave himself for the shepherd, and he will not forsake us. And we will never be mistaken by following him. 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Well, so let us pick up the Bible. I read it, and read it, and read it, and read it, and read it. I use it, apply it to our lives, and follow the voice of real shepherd, Jesus Christ. When our world is shaken, we can be unshaken if our foundation is firm. There is one who remains a rock, a firm foundation, unshaken through it all, and that is Jesus Christ and His Word. Let's remember that. Amen.